Then we were going to go through a way of visualizing the objects of protection according to a slightly different Tibetan lineage called the Southern Lineage. And we'll just do it quickly. I don't want to confuse you or add to the confusion. It's just another way of doing it. And it's not very long, so we'll go through it. And then we'll get on to, we said we would speak about guardians of the Lamrim. Okay? Okay, so here we go. What's Lamrim? Enlightenment A to Z. It's a kind of...
Idiots.
Say again?
Idiots.
Yeah, the complete idiots guide. Yeah, to enlightenment. Okay. In one book, all the instructions. So there are protectors for them. But here we go. Sing begins singing Dawashimber. Dejitat sel sel depsul ni yokening. Where are you? It's 91A at the last line. 91A. Last line. Just before 91B. Jitat sel depsul ni. How do we visualize this different way of doing it? Rangi dundu sane yarkepe tabu jasin yidu onwe. So we see in front of us, we see a rainbow rising from the earth. And then that rainbow turns into like a cloud. Yidu onwe septu teme gochok mambo seltap. Then sitting in those clouds, rainbow, among the rainbow, are large lotus heads of lotuses, and some texts say they are weaving. They are, what do you call it?
Undulating
is good. Who said that? That's good. Yeah, they are like this. Okay. Some people say that. Mangbo seltape du uki chewe tengdu. In the middle is the largest one, and on top of that is Lord Buddha. Then on the two, there are two more large lotus heads at the level of the shoulders of that Buddha, so they'd be here. Teme gocho re tengdu. And then there's Manjushri on the left and Maitreya on the right of the Buddha's left and right. Our right and left. Okay? On the Buddha's own left is the angel of wisdom. And on the Buddha's own right is the angel of compassion on a separate lotus. Okay. Sosoku gyabna. Deni sosoku gyabna sabge gyupe lama nam. Chik gyabtu chik alon korwa tar. Tubwang la korwe tsuldu shukpe gyupa nyiki lama. So then, let me see. This is a little confusing to me. Deni sosoku gyabna. Behind them, sabge are the two lineages. We call sub and ge. Sub means profound. Ge means far spreading. And those are code words in the Lamrim for the lineages of emptiness and the lineages of compassion. They're called profound lineage and the widespreading lineage. Okay. Gyupe lamanam chik gyaptu chik along korwa tar. I don't understand this exactly. I'll have to check it, okay? It says, chik gyaptu, each one is behind the one before them, like they are surrounded by a circle. But it doesn't make sense to me. I'll check, okay? Tubang la korwe tsuru. But they all circle the Buddha. Shukpe gyupa, nyiki lama, jema nyi, delse dro. So the... In each I guess there are two circles around the two lotuses to the side of the lamas who have taught those lineages of compassion and wisdom. And each succeeding generation is sitting next to the one before them. So usually those generations are about 30 years apart, average, over the last 2,500 years. There's about 42 generations back to the beginning of the Tibetans. And we recite their names every 2 weeks. We know their names, and it's beautiful. So they are sitting, each previous generation is sitting next to one. Normally a teacher is about 30 years older than their prime disciples. Okay. Sabge gyupe lamanam. Then each one of them is sitting on their own lotus. Tubwangi dun chungse mawar, in front of the Buddha but a little bit lower, is Chundel Ngotoki Lama, are the lamas from whom, who's Chundel? What's Chundel? We had it. What's Chundel? Chum means Dharma, Delwa, like Dendel, connection. So Chundel means a lama with whom you have a karmic connection. And it means someone from whom you've taken teachings, personally. Okay. And there's this custom in the monastery, you know, like you're too busy. I had 12 main lamas. And you don't have time to go to, there's another great lama in the monastery, but you don't have time to go to get teachings from them. But you'll go to their door one day on a day off, which is not very common. And you will knock on their door and say, could you just teach me for 5 minutes? Because I want Chundel. I want a karmic connection with you. I'd like you to be in my life next time. You know, and they'll just teach you for 5 minutes standing at the door. And then they become Chundel Lama. And then you're like, okay, see you next life. You know, like that. It's like a shame not to have a karmic connection with them, even if you don't have time to go learn from them. So that's a nice custom. Chundel Ngotoki Lama. So those lamas with whom you have a karmic connection are sitting in front of you, as in front of the Buddha lore. Nyamlen jinnab gyu sandap mi gu. You can leave out, in this visualization, the tantric lineage, the one behind. Okay, you can leave that one out. Tengin namkar charting ki septang, lama nam ki yeyin ne sangye nam. Up higher in the sky, scattered around the rainbow, to the left and right of your lamas and the various lamas of the two lineages, are circles of Buddhas. This one is more. It's called I forget the name. It's a ladder thing. You're supposed to put them in. They're supposed to be built up vertically rather than horizontally. See what I mean? So. There's some word in Tibetan for it. It's like totsek, like you're supposed to stack them, okay? Rather than spreading them out like we did before. And you can see which one feels better to you, okay? Below them are the bodhisattvas, below them are the listeners, below them are the self-made Buddhas, below them are the Dharma protectors. Then the Chundel Ngutoki Lame Ok, Pedme Gochok, the big undulating lotus flower which is under the lamas with whom you've had a karmic connection. Pedme Nambas Natso Pema. Natso Pema is a really strange lotus. It has black petals, yellow petals. There's a whole teaching on it, okay? In certain directions, red petals. It's not like most lotuses are either Utpal is pale blue, and Pema is like Omari Pemehu, that one is pink. So this one is a very strange, and it has a tantric meaning. The different directions have a tantric meaning. Anyway, you can say a multicolored lotus. Pema Nambasum, there are three. Yepe Umar Ni Denki Tengdu, in the middle one. Nin den ki tengdu. There's a nin den means a cushion, like I'm sitting on a cushion, but it's made of the sun, down flat. Okay, they perceive the sun as a disc. Mandala means disc, and they perceive it. So you're sitting on the sun. Tengdu kebu chambu chudak. Then there's the first of the protectors of the Lamrim. So we're going to have three protectors of the Lamrim, okay? And they're below and in front of the lamas that you have a karmic connection to, okay? Three lotuses, three new lotuses, okay? In the middle is a Nyunze Yeshe Gumbo. Okay? Mm. Say Nyunze
Yeshe
Gumbo. On the right hand lotus, which would be your left, okay? Because right hand always means to the Buddha's right hand, which means our left, is Ben Dai Tengdu, is a lotus, and on top of that is a moon disc. And on top of that, by the way, Nyunze Yeshe Gumbo, we'll talk about him, is the protector for the people of higher capacity, okay? People of highest capacity. Kebu Dingi Chodak Namse is Vaishravana, in Tibetan called Namse, sometimes Kubera. And that's the protector of the Lamrim teachings for people of medium capacity. Okay. What makes you highest capacity? Yeah, you're stirring the tea for the old coffee, for the old lady. And you're thinking, I would like to start a fad that ends up being global. I would like it to go viral. It's a very much a viral state of mind. I would like my example, my successful example, for getting a boyfriend in a new way by stirring this old lady's coffee, you know, that it should spread. And everyone who wants a boyfriend or a girlfriend should help a lonely person. And everybody who wants money should help poor people. And everybody who wants to get strong from their yoga first should go to the hospital and help a sick person, okay? Because that's the real cause. The yoga is the means by which the cause expresses itself. But the cause of yoga making you thin or strong is the amount that you serve the sick. So do yoga, because that's the medium or the means through which the karma expresses itself. But if you don't want to get hurt in yoga, if you want the yoga to succeed, help somebody sick before that. The yoga doesn't do anything. Yoga cannot do anything for you. Half the people, I went to a class in New York. I told you I always go to a class, right? So I was in New York, so I just went out to a class at some obscure yoga studio. And that's how I go to the movies. I go to the movies, I see what's playing when I get there. And I say, I want a ticket for that, you know? And so I see which class is playing when I get to the yoga studio. And it said, what do they call that? Restorative. And I said, I want to be in the restorative class, you know, it's next. Okay, you know, $18. And then I said, what's restorative mean? And they said, it's a yoga class for people who got hurt by doing yoga. You know? And I said, do you charge for that class? Like, do you get them twice? You know, you charge them to hurt them and then you charge them to fix them. But she was kind of angry. Anyway, why did I bring that up? I don't remember. Huh?
What's it like?
Oh, yoga doesn't work. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yoga has no power. Yoga does nothing. Aspirin does nothing. You know? Scriptures don't do nothing. Okay? If you have the seed, they can help you. If you don't have the seed, they will bore you and put you to sleep, okay? All right? Then I can see all your feelings. You know? Okay? Scripture has no power. Yoga has no power. Aspirin, food, they have no power. Vegan diet has no power. Meat diet has no power. Depends on what seeds you have. If you are kind to others and you pay attention to others, what they want, what they need, then yoga will work. And if you don't, then you'll get hurt and you'll have to go to restorative class, okay? Okay. Anyway, why did we get onto that? I forget. Oh, huh? Oh, yeah. It was the lady stirring the coffee for the lady. You have to think, I want to start a global virus, a global fad. A whole globe, 7 billion people who understand that aspirin doesn't do anything and that yoga doesn't do anything and that scriptures don't do anything, okay? What's the proof of that, by the way? Because different people have different reactions to them. Some people die if you give them an aspirin. They're allergic to aspirin, right? There's nothing in aspirin that can help you. There's nothing in aspirin anyway. And there's nothing in these words that can help you. And there's nothing in an asana that can help you. If you have the seeds, they will help you. If you don't have the seeds, they will mess you up. And you've seen that. Scriptures mess people up. Aspirins make people sick. And yoga gets you hurt, some people. That means they didn't have the seed. Okay. So that idea of spreading that wisdom, which is true, that wisdom is true. And you know that. The fact that aspirin doesn't always work proves it. For the last headache you had, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. It means aspirin doesn't have anything in it. It's all coming from you. Is spreading that wisdom would make everyone happy. Okay. So there's a protector for those ideas, that they should not get lost in the world. And people are fighting over whether yoga works better, or jogging, or golf, or Pilates, or... I heard this new one today, Zumba? It sounds fun, I want to try it. Maybe that will make me happy. You know. Okay, so it's all... somebody's got to take me to it. Why, does it hurt you? Or is it like that? Anyway. Oh, serious, sorry. Yeah? Okay. I'll come. All right. So anyway, spreading that wisdom that things don't work by themselves unless you help somebody else first is the bodhisattva's mission. That's what they do. That's the highest capacity. So then on the right hand, meaning our left of the Buddha, is, it's actually in front of the three lamas, in front of your karmic connection lamas. On your left and the lamas right, over here, is the protector of the medium capacity. And what are they interested in? Medium capacity. Yeah, they don't want any suffering. Like if you offered them, I don't know, a Mercedes-Benz, right? Then they would say, can you assure me that it will never break or never get old? You see, like they don't just want something better. They want it never to fail. Then their protector is Vaishravana, one of the four great kings who live on the top of Mount Meru, okay, up here. And they are protectors for the world. Okay, that's one of the protectors. Yenmar, on the other, on the left-hand lama, which is your right as you face them, Yenmar, Nindengi Tengdu, again, a sun disk, is Kebu Chungu Chodak, the protector of the Lamrim steps for people of lesser capacity, is Shinje She. Okay, the full name is Shinje She. They just said Shinje. Shinje means what? I think you know. Lord of Death, okay? Shinje She. Desumla Kebu Sumgyu Chodak to Jope Gyutenni. So I'm going to cover why they call them the three. Why are these three beings the protectors for the Lamrim? They go into it here, okay? And what do you do with a protector? If you're having a problem, like you're trying to teach the Lamrim and there's some kind of obstacle, you can ask them for help, you know? If you're trying to master the Lamrim internally, and you're having trouble, you can ask them for help, okay? They protect the teachings, and they protect the people who are learning them and trying to meditate on them. If you're having trouble with the idea of impermanence or death, then you could ask one of those protectors for help, okay? Like that. Nyunze Yeshi Gumbo, the first one, which is, I said Nyunze Yeshi Gumbo. Nyunze means acts fast. Nyur means fast. Ze means acts. Nyunze, Yeshe means wisdom. Gumbo means protector. What's a Sanskrit? It's extremely obscure. It's Kurukula. Okay? And Lama Sopa has this fixation on Kurukula. I never understood it. It's a really obscure tantric deity. But now I understand. Last night I was like, wow, that's why he called his Boston Center Kurukula, right? So anyway, that's the protector of the bodhisattva part of the Lama. Okay, Kurukula. Yeshigumbu Gyalkun Nyingje Rangsuk. This angel is the embodiment of the compassion of all the Buddhas and is, in essence, Chenrei Sikh or Avalokiteshvara. Okay? When you can pronounce Avalokiteshvara, you know you're a real Dharma student. Okay? It took me like 4 years. I remember in India, I'd be like, Avalu Agu. Okay. You could break it into pieces, okay? Ava means down. Lokita means looking down. And Ishvara means Lord, right? So Ava, Lokita, Ishvara. You could say it slow like that. Avalokiteshvara. Okay. The Tibetan is Chen Re Sik. Chen means eyes. Re means like this. Like they say the way Aura looks at her baby. You're like, okay, loving eyes. Chen Re Sik. The Dalai Lama, right? Okay. Chen Re Sik Ngo Yinbe. Di Ni Chu Kyung Tu Ten Na. If you ask this person for help, this being, Kibu Chenpo Cup, then when you are studying the parts of the Lama Rim that relate to people of greatest capacity, Jam Ningje Ke Nyurwa La Nyeche, you will be able to achieve compassion and love more quickly. Okay? So quickness is part of even his name, right? Okay? Nyurwa La Nyeche. So that's an important thing. I'm gonna pause there, okay? And we'll come back to the other two protectors. All right. Why are they protectors for the Lama? And I am doing a sales pitch tonight, okay? I have two projects. I want you to help me with them. You know, many people are helping. Hundreds of people are helping, but I want you to help. So we're gonna do a sales pitch, right? Right. And. And then I'm going to diamond deal you. Which means, which one would you like to help? Okay, so here we go. Maybe we start with Diamond Mountain, okay? Are you ready? Are you doing that? You're not ready? Okay. Okay, quick. Maybe I'll do another protector while I'm waiting. Okay, let's go. Dingy Cup, okay. I know enough to not to trust the projector. Dingy Cup means when you are studying the steps for a person of medium capacity, the subjects which are most important are the three trainings, which are morality, meditation, and wisdom. Shakbar, Tsutungi Lapatsor. The most important training is morality. In the people of medium capacity. Why would that be connected to the goal anyway? Yeah, okay. Why would that be connected to the goals of a person of medium capacity? A person of medium capacity doesn't want to suffer anymore. So morality is most important for them. The practice of morality is most important for them. So, Nyamsu Leng Gu. Gyalchen Nam Tu Se Ki, and the great king called the protector named Vaishravana, Dene Sumle protects the three baskets, and especially the Vinaya, which is the teachings on vowed morality. Okay, Some people translate it as monk's vows or something like that, but it's not really. Much of it is vows for lay people, okay? I think tonight some people are taking those vows, right? Okay? These are Vinaya vows, lifetime layman's vows. No killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, and no booze or drugs. Okay? Those five are layperson's vows, lifetime vows. You take them for your life, okay? And like that. That's the beginning of the Vinaya. And then it goes up to fully ordained people, okay? Who have Nigang up to Sasum. The boys have 253 vows, and the girls are more naughty, so they have 364 vows. So you start with 5 vows and you work up to 364 if you're a naughty person. Dulwa. Laba sumne, chutim gi laba point, sumar tumbe. So, by Shravana, of the 3 different trainings, agreed, tumbe chengar, which means at the foot of the Buddha, at the these beings are like heavy-duty, powerful beings who can move galaxies, right? But they came to the Buddha, and they knelt before the Buddha, and they swore to protect the teachings. Okay, there's this deal they make. Okay, I don't know where, I must be on some other galaxy or something, but and a zillion years ago. And they said, okay, planet Earth, 2012, I'll take care of the people of middle capacity. You know, and then Buddha says, you promise? And they say, yeah. Okay, you're on. Okay, and probably we should make a movie about it, because there's no other, you know, I don't know where it happened or how it happened. It's always like they made a promise on their knees to Lord Buddha, and they don't tell you more. Okay, Tumbe Chengar. Chengar means before the eyes of the Buddha. Shelki She means they promised. Dini Chukyong Dutena. And if you ask this person for help, Vaishravana, it will help you to gain the lamrim parts of medium person faster. Okay. Are you ready, Nanying? It's not going to get bigger. Okay, let's go to the third protector. I just know I went until this meditation. Okay, let's go over there. Are we going to flow okay? So my first pitch is for Diamond Mountain, the 3-year retreat. We have 30-something, I think it's 30, how many are we? 33 people are in a 3-year retreat at Diamond Mountain. These photos were taken today. Okay? They were taken in the afternoon today. And I thought it was cool that you could see, wait, don't go on yet. I just want you to see what's going on. 33 people are in 3-year retreat. It's, I don't know, to me it's like something very, very special. It's like sending a man on the moon. Nobody in North America, or I don't know about South America, probably not in South America either. No large group of people has done this kind of 3-year retreat. Strict. It's a very strict one. They were trained for 7 years. Okay? They were trained heavily for 7 years, and they worked hard. So they had 7 years of training. At Diamond Mountain, and then I think they had the most detailed course in the higher teachings that anyone has ever had, Tibetan or Westerner. And they went through all of the, they went through 10,000 pages of scripture in 7 years, and newly translated, everything was translated. So they worked really hard. Then they built their own retreat cabins, okay? Each person, they raised the money. These are not little retreat cabins. One person's is $200,000, okay? I think the cheapest was $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, okay? They sweated, and they worked like dogs. for 2 or 3 years. And they had a deadline because they had to go in on December 31st, right? So they worked like insane. Like some guy told me he, during the day he would look on YouTube, like how to install a shower, you know? And then he'd run up the hill and pour cement. And he poured cement down the drain of the shower, you know. And then he went back and looked up YouTube, and they say, "Be careful not to pour cement down the drain," you know. And he's like, "Dang," you know. And he went back, and he had to tear up. This is Will Duncan, okay? He had to tear the whole drains out, all the. Then he had to start over again, and they didn't know how to build. Some of them didn't know how to build. And they just built. Every cabin is approved by the county. Every cabin got passed by the county. Like three of them were on the last night. The county inspector came out like at midnight and passed the last three, you know. And they're all like really nice. All of them are solar powered. There's nobody on the grid. And all of them are, what do you call, compost toilets. There's no plumbing for the toilets, okay. It's total green. Everything is green, okay. And it was hard, and it was a lot of work. Okay, next slide. I'm gonna tell you what some of the people are doing there. Okay, and I'll send out a newsletter of it. But we're not really supposed to tell you what they're doing. But there's been controversy lately. There was a tragedy took place nearby our university. One retreatant who was asked to leave the retreat tried to stay in a cave somewhere, didn't tell anybody, ran out of water, died. And then that got to be a big, what do you call, scandal in the newspapers and stuff like that. He was asked to leave the retreat because he did something dangerous. So anyway, there's 33 people there who are making amazing progress. I just want to tell you what they're doing. I go every 2 months and I counsel all of them one by one. It takes 4 days. And then I give them teachings and things like that. So I thought you would like to know the inside scoop of the good news of the hard work they're doing, because they are working hard and they are devoted, and they spent 7 years to learn how to do retreat, which has never been done anywhere. In Serum Monastery, where I went to school, there's not a single monk who has completed it this way. And I went to the Tantric College. I've studied at the Tantric College. I've debated there. There's nobody. They have a 3-year retreat thing. You stay in a little house with some other monks, and it's nothing like, it's not like what these guys are doing. These guys are doing the real thing. Okay. And I also want you to meet the caretakers. Okay. This is Nicole Davis. She has a PhD in geology. She went to Tibet to do PhD work in geology. She got interested in Tibetans, and she ended up at Diamond Mountain a couple years ago. She's taking care of all the green stuff. She fixes all the solar panels. She fixes all the, what do you call it, compost toilets. And she does all the maintenance. And it's an incredibly hard work. She's busy all day, all night. She works all the time. The first week they were in retreat was the coldest week in history. All the water pipes froze and broke. And she worked and replaced all of them. Okay, it's 5 miles of water pipes. We pump our own water. Okay, like that. So she does that. Next, I just thought you might like to see some of the cabins. Okay, and I think it's kind of awesome. You know, people told us we could never build on those mountains, and they did. And they dug the land and they did it. Okay. And they're perched up on the mountains, and it's very beautiful. Okay, I want you to understand one thing. Okay, this is the deal they all agreed to. They would spend all their money, and they would work their. They worked the night and day for 2 or 3 years, and they built their cabins, and they will stay in them for 3 years and 3 months and 3 days. Then they become yours. Okay, they will leave. And they will donate the cabins to anybody who wants to come and do retreat there. That's the deal they agreed to, okay? They gave up all their life savings. They're doing a 3-year retreat. And then in a year and a half from now, any one of us can go down there and do retreat, because we will have a cabin. And they will leave, and they will give us the cabins, okay? That's the deal they agreed to, all right? So I think it's extraordinary. Okay? They're penniless. They're going to leave penniless. Okay, because they wanted it to be for future generations. That was their promise. Okay, next. Who is that? Oh, Scott. I want to show you some of the caretakers first. Scott Vasek is, he owned his own business in Detroit. He did rollouts for the big car companies, Ford, Chevrolet, you know, Pontiac. He was famous in what he did, and he worked for ABC News and people like that. And he gave it up. He came to Diamond Mountain. And he and his wife, Orit, who's over there, Scott's taking care of a lot of the logistics. The retreatants get organic food deliveries either once a week or once every 2 weeks, depending on whether they're in deep retreat or not. The closest organic store is 2 hours away. So we rent a huge truck. Somebody drives it to Tucson. They drive around Tucson all day, pick up organic food, you know, Venezuelan cocoa nibs and other necessities, and drive them back. And then it's a huge operation to break the food out and deliver it to the cabins fresh so they can... We want them to eat well. We told them, we will pamper you. You know, we'll take care of you. And you will get anything you want. I made a promise to them. I said, you do this retreat, you'll get anything you want. I promise. You know, then they're holding me to that. So anyway, Scott's doing that. He's also in charge of our operations, the diamond cutter operations in Russia. So he's doing two jobs. Actually, and China, Taiwan. And then Orit is our medical person. So I didn't have a slide of her because she's over there. We have one MD doing retreat. We have two physician's assistant, which is almost MD. It's higher than a registered nurse, and it's lower than an MD. We have two PAs. And then Orit is an RN. And so she's taking care of all the medical stuff. And I'll tell you more about that later. They monitor people's blood pressure, their sugar levels, like that. It's a real... The medical care there is better than you or I have. Okay. All right, next. That's another cabin today. That's a smaller one. A lot of people are building gardens, and that's the water system down below there. Next. That's Rob Russinger. He's our DMU president. He runs the whole thing. He also keeps the accounts, which is a lot of work. He was the president of a foundation in Tucson, and he gave it up to come out and spend 3 years running the retreat. He runs the retreat. Okay. Then his counterpart, you have a next one? That's another cabin. This is John Brady. A lot of you know him. He was the national sales manager for Lilly and Vernon, which is like the largest, I don't know what, mail order company in the United States. And then he gave that up to take over the refugee project. And then he's in three-year retreat. He's now the retreat director, and he works with Rob Ressinger. And it's a beautiful combination now. They work very closely. There's very good harmony between them. And so John has a council of five retreatants who were voted by the retreatants. And they run the inside, and Rob runs the outside. And then Rob and John meet each other, you know, I don't know, once a week or something like that, when they're not in deep retreat. So that's how the system works. Okay, next. That's another retreat. Oh, that was illegal. I said no retreat in pictures. Oh, that's before retreat? This is, I'm just going to give you stories of like five or six retreatants, okay, what they're up to. This is Christine Sperber. Uta Shar's a good friend. Where are you? Yeah, she's like her sister. She's working on inner body stuff, and she's made a whole book of illustrations. They're very beautiful, and they're very extraordinary, okay? So books, whole books of inner body things. So she's been specializing on the inner body, the chakras, and the, and like that. And very beautiful. She has a very beautiful book finished. So she does a lot of yoga, and she and then she meditates, I don't know, 12 hours a day, and goes in and sees where's this chakra or what's it look like, and she's getting kind of awesome at that. And she's been in silence for a year and a half. And then she's seeing all these things inside her body, and she's making beautiful illustrations of them. Okay. That's just one example. Next. That's a delivery this afternoon. Okay? There's a cabin in the background, and a volunteer is filling up. Who is that?
Brian.
Brian. Is filling up the... They have a lot of bags, and they fill up the a steel box outside the retreatant's cabin, because we have a bear there who has broken into a few cabins, which is exciting. And we also have a mountain lions, and we have javelina, wild boars, and we have a lot of immigrants come through that area trying to get in the United States, because that's a mountain range that goes down to Mexico. So they can stay in the mountains and come up. And it just about there is where it stops. So, okay, next. By the way, we have a system which is unofficial to... If a person comes up to our land and needs help, we give them help, okay? And that's a touchy subject in America, but we do it. So anyway, you can cut that from the tape. That's Will Duncan. I thought I'd tell you his story, because Will is very interested in a Christian path. And before he went in to retreat, he was our tabla player, and it's miserable without him. But it... he went to a priest, and he was trained to do mass for himself. So he was trained by a Christian priest to do his own masses. The DCI team, mostly Mercedes, but I think Scott was with us, Orit was with us. We went to Jerusalem recently, last month, and got him a special chalice and special stuff so he could do his rituals. About a... I don't know, 6 months ago he announced he wouldn't take any breaks. So he's been in for like he's going straight. The other retreatants take a break every 2 months and they rest, you know, and they relax and they do prayers together and like that. He decided that he feels strong enough to keep going. So I think he's been in, I don't know how long, 6 months now? Without a break. And he intends to just keep going. Okay, we'll see what happens. Usually you need a break. But his partner, Ann Curry, is helping him. She sees him, I don't know, every week or something like that, and takes care of him. He has a tooth problem. We're working on it. There's a dentist who comes into the retreat and does dental work for people. Okay. Next. I don't know. That's somebody's prayer wheel. Next. That's Kat Airhorn. She helped build a lot of the cabins. She invented a new kind of adobe brick that, instead of using straw, it uses old newspapers, garbage newspapers, the cellulose in the newspapers. And it was approved by the county after a lot of fights and the state. And it's 35% lighter than... Sorry, it's 35% of the weight of normal adobe. And it's stronger. It's like three times stronger. And she invented it. And the way you mix it is that she invented a mixer that you pull behind a car. The mixer is made from old automobile parts from a junkyard. Okay, so she invented that. And it was passed by the county. And those bricks were made by her. I think the cool news about her, which I've been allowed to tell you, is that I ordained her. About 4 or 5 months ago. Okay, she looks great. She looks really, really good. And if you know her, I think you can say she's extremely intelligent, extremely farsighted, and a little wacky. Now, no, I mean, now cut the wacky part. Because the wacky part is gone. And she's just intense, and she's radiating. She's just she's changed her, she's a different person. She's totally different person. The inventive part is still there, and the intelligence part is still there, but the little bit of a wacky part is gone, and she's just shining, you know. And she's really intense, and her concentration is really intense, okay. And she looks great in the robes, okay. Next. Oh, by the way, these photos are from before retreat. Because I don't think it's good to take photos of them during retreat, you know. You can see them later, in a year and a half. This is Karen Becker. I think she's the oldest retreatant, is that true? She's 70, something like that. Orit was monitoring her heart and her blood sugars and things like that. Anyway, and all of them get checkups and like that. Then her, what do you call it? The rate of her heartbeat was getting off and going too low, or something like, is that roughly correct? And then it got to be dangerous. And then we pulled her out. I ordered her to leave retreat. And it was a big fight. But I ordered her to go to a doctor. She didn't want to go. And so they dragged her to a doctor. And they said, you need a pacemaker now. So they cut open her chest. They put in a pacemaker. And she was back within 72 hours. And she's going great. And she's fine. So I just want you to know how intense they are. She also decided she doesn't want a break. She didn't take a break last time. And she's just going straight through. Okay, so very devoted people. Okay, and brave, I think. Next. That's another cabin this afternoon. I don't know who it is. That's what a box looks like, okay? And they'll ask for, I don't know, every retreatant makes a custom list. They get a custom list of what they want. And they'll be like, I want this kind of toothpaste, but I don't want that kind of toothpaste. And I want organic bananas from Ecuador. You know, they're really specific. And then Scott and Orit have to pick it out. And Rob Ressinger goes, buys it. And then we have the commissary chief is here. Tahia, where are you? Tahia runs the commissary. The commissary is a large building where all the food is kept. And then every week they have to take these huge bins and fill the orders of each person, which are totally different. Everybody has a different order and they have different demands. And they need, somebody needs a telescope. Or somebody decided they want to paint prayer flags or, you know, like that. Or somebody decided they have to learn Chinese. And they need tapes, you know. And so then Tahia's the supervisor for, which is a very difficult and all-day job. And they input the demands into a computer. Then it gets sorted into an order. It goes to Tucson. People buy all this stuff. It comes back. It's a four-hour round trip. It's 8 hours there getting the stuff for everybody. And then she's in charge of that. Okay, next. That's Ari Tsvieli and Dvora Tsvieli. Some of her students are here. One from Israel, I think, is here at the retreat. Ronit, oh, three of them. So she's like been really intense. They built an all Adobe house. She's been really intense translating. She's been translating nonstop, I think, all the scriptures into Hebrew. So the 10,000 pages of advanced teachings that they were trained in, she's been translating steadily because she intends to give them when she gets out in Israel. And her students in Israel are building a diamond mountain there. It's called the Savara. Yeah, that's what I said. Anyway, it's in the desert down south part of Israel. It's down in the desert at an oasis, okay? Like with palm trees and water and all that stuff. And they're building a diamond mountain down there, okay? And she's getting ready the whole 7-year course in Hebrew. She just took a break and did Hagan. Am I right? The garden just was published in Israel a few weeks ago. I was there and they popped it on me, and the garden was published in Hebrew a couple weeks ago. And it's beautiful. And they did illustrations for it. So she translated that during retreat and sent it out. And she's really focusing on her students and what they will need when she comes out. She has 35 ACI groups in Israel. She runs 35 ACI groups. Okay. Next. That's a sort of a broad view of the Kabin Valley, all the valleys. It's a separate valley. Diamond Mountain has 1,000 acres of land. This is about 300, the retreat valley. We have another 700 acres available. And we have long-term plans for it, okay? My personal plan is that when they finish retreat in a year and a half, we give them 3 extra months of, what do you call it? They can reintegrate into the world. We have a plan to give them a certain amount of money when they get out. There's halfway houses being prepared in San Francisco, LA, New York. They can go there, they can live for a couple months, figure out how to use a computer again, talk, you know, and so they will reintegrate over a 3 to 6 month period. And they'll be helped with that. But then Diamond Mountain will become a public retreat center. And we will probably have some of our retreats there. Instead of paying this camp $50,000 each time, we could use Diamond Mountain. I think it'd be more comfortable. You would have your cabin with maybe 2 or 3 other people. And I think it would be, it's going to be nice, okay? It's going to be a nice retreat center. I want it to be, what do you call it? Deluxe retreat center and the cheapest one. Okay, so you get, you know, really good attention. You have fresh linens on your bed. You have organic food. You do yoga. You are trained how to do long-term retreat. If you want to do 3 days or 10 days or 1 month or 3 years, you just tell them and then they teach you how to do it. And I want to do retreats for example, for single mothers from Tucson. There are a lot of single moms among the poor community. And we are designing a program for them to come and do, we call it Pampered Weekend. So we'll have a nursery and take care of the children, and then the single mom can, they don't get a break, you know, the poor moms can't afford, what do you call it, child care. So they're like crazy, they're going crazy. So we have this program ready to take them on retreat, give them a nice bed with beautiful linens and organic food, and let them sleep late, and the kids will be screaming over in the nursery, and it'll be free, okay? That's our hope. That so far, the almost 10 years that Diamond Mountain has been in operation, we have never charged $1 for a class. The classes have been free. It's a free university. And so far, it's been free. The retreatants are not paying anything. We're just taking care of them, okay, like that. So that's my pitch. They need food money. I need food money. I took responsibility. It's my problem. I need $600 each per month. I'm about at, I don't know, I'm about at 400, 450. It's okay. We're doing okay. If their expenses have dropped by 30% this year per month. Why? I told them they had to come out and caretake. You know, I'm taking them one by one. I say, you're out for a month. You're working in the commissary because I want you to see how much work it is, you know, and you have to stay silent and, you know, so they come out, they don't leave the land and they have to come out and, you know, pack the boxes and wash everything or build solar panels or, you know, and because they were getting a little bit spoiled. And now suddenly the expenses dropped 30%. Okay. So I've saved a little bit on that end, but I still need some more sponsors, okay? And I'm at, those of you who want to, I want you to join, it's called $1 a day. You pay $1 a day, okay? You just pay $1 a day. If that's difficult for you, I don't care. You can give $1 every 3 days. Or you can give $5 a month. You can give $10 a month. $1 a day is $30 a month. Okay? So I don't care what it is, but give something. Sign up for something. Okay? I don't care what it is. If it's $1 a week, that's fine. If that's what you can do, that's fine. Okay? If you don't want to do anything, I'm not going to shoot you. Okay? This is voluntary. I'm not like doing this, what do you call, cult guru thing, where I empty your wallet. Okay? It's a noble thing. It's a great thing. And we're going to be in those cabins in a year and a half. And I'm asking everybody, if your heart's into it, give some to sign up for something. Sign up for $1 a year. Okay? I don't care. Do something. Get the karma. Get a slice of the karma. It's a big pie, right? Get your hands on a little bit of the karma, okay? Because it's amazing. And then the opportunity will be finished in a year and a half. You know, they'll be out. And this is the crunch. We know we're on the last, it's like the Olympics, and we're on the last lap, and I need a little more money for them, okay? And I go to Singapore and I beg for money, and I go to Taiwan and I beg for money, and I go to Russia, and Germany's giving a lot of money. I'm shameless, okay? Okay, I have to be. All right. If you're not into that, you have a choice. What?
Can we give money now?
Well, we're going to talk about that. Okay. All right. I'll talk about how to give it, okay? It's easy.
For people to come and visit.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should say that. I guess Tahir would appreciate that. We're very much open for volunteers there, okay? There are classes going on, but not at the level of the last 7 years. We're sort of quieter, but there are ACI courses being given on regularly, every week? Twice a week? Once a week? Every other week. Yeah. For how long every month?
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weekends. Anyway, ACI courses are being given there, and you're welcome to come. Okay. By the way, those of you who know Diamond Mountain, who you've been there, who studied there, we have cracked down on behavior. Okay. There's been a new policy came out. We attracted some homeless people. We didn't want to say no to them, and they came and they used to hang out, and some of them would drink. We didn't allow drugs or alcohol on the campus, but there would be people walking around, and we don't feel like we can search people's pockets or like that. If we found drugs or alcohol, we asked them to leave. But there were homeless people there, people who just drove by and stopped there and never left. And so we've done some things. We've decided that we can't run a university like that. So we made a new policy. If you're caught inebriated, you are asked to leave. And so two people have left. Two old-timers have left. Three have left. And there's no more of them there. And we're much more, if you want to be on the campus more than 10 days, you have to be either in a class or teaching a class, or you have to apply to work in the commissary, and you have to be accepted, and you are reviewed once a month. So we made it stricter to be at Diamond Mountain. Okay, and just because it was getting out of hand, you can have, we call it the 1-to-8 principle. You can have one, like, what do you call it? Person there struggling with alcohol or something, and then you need 8 people to support them, right? But it was getting like 50-50. And then it's too difficult. Then the people trying to give them work and teach them how to load the boxes or something, but they're like, you know. And so we made a tough decision, and we made it a little, we're a little stricter than we were before. Maybe we should go to the third protector. I think we do the third protector, and we'll come back to that. Okay, ready? You guys work on it. Okay, here we go. We gotta talk about people of what capacity?
Low.
Lowest capacity. Okay. Tell me when if you guys are ready. Chögyal Shinje, Lord of Death. Why would you choose the Lord of Death to be the protector? These are divine forms of these three beings, okay? So it's not the usual Lord of Death. It's like an angel whose name is the Lord of Death, okay? And traditionally they say that, I don't know, it's similar in Christianity, but in Buddhism they say that when you die, and if particularly if you go to the hell realms, you will be met by the Lord of Death, and he will explain to you why you're there. Like, he will explain the karmas that you did. So they say mitapatan. They will teach you about impermanence, and they will teach you gedik tangzin lendik namye, means they will give you a lecture about good karma and bad karma. Okay, that's their job. Okay, so tumbapo yimbe dini chukyong dutena. If you ask them for help, they will help you learn the teachings of the lowest capacity, which are based on the fact that you're going to die. Okay, the teachings of lowest capacity are founded on death meditation. What is death meditation? It's not like some kind of weirdo, depressing thing. It's not that. Okay, death meditation is you get up, you walk over to the sink, you grab your toothpaste, you put the toothbrush, put toothpaste on it, put it in your mouth, brush, look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, I'm going to die today. Okay? Okay? Then you spit out the toothpaste, wash your mouth, and you can throw out the toothbrush. Okay? All right? That's a real death meditation. Every morning when you get up, like, okay, I'm going to die today. What am I going to do with my last day? How will I spend my last day? You know? And then you don't waste time. And it's a very profound meditation, okay? You're going to learn it, okay? But if you want to learn it well, you ask for the help of the Lord of Death, okay? Very powerful being who kills all living beings, right? Can you help me appreciate the fact that I will not see tonight? I will not see the sunset tonight. Okay? Then the Lord of Death will teach you not to waste your time, because you've only got one day left. And that's a very profound meditation. If you do it, you can get all kinds of projects done. And then your life changes. You become like a really intense person, and your life becomes more rich. And more beautiful, very intense and beautiful. Okay. You ready? Okay, cut the lights again. In the diamond business, if you're trying to sell a diamond to a lady who's getting married with her husband standing there, you give her what we call diamond deal. And you say, are you going to pay cash or is that a check? Which means if you put their mind on some choice, they don't think about not buying it. You get the point? Okay, the other thing you can work with, you can help me with, is Asian Classics Input Project. This year is 25th year, okay? Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear ACIP. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. Are you ready? Okay, I haven't seen this yet, okay? I'm supposed to. This is one of our input operators. I think she's been working for about almost 20 years. Like, she was a very starving Tibetan woman. And it saved their lives, and it saved their families' lives. And it's helping many families. It is the longest running Tibetan refugee help project ever. It's 25 years helping their families. So she doesn't look starving anymore, right? Okay, next picture. I didn't choose these, okay? This is negotiating with the Mongolian government to input their scriptures. They have hundreds of thousands of books there, and it's been a rough 25 years, but we're still there. We're still going. Okay. Next. This is Ngawa Rutul. He ran the project, I think, at CERTA for 10 years or something. And we burned him out. Okay, next. I guess that's Mongolia also. Yeah. That's Robert Chilton, who worked for the project for about 20 years for free. None of the staff has gotten paid anything in the United States for 25 years. Okay. That's His Holiness. We had a long meeting, and we gave him a laptop loaded with about, I don't know, a million pages of scriptures, and he was really turned on. And so he was really excited about it, and he's helped us a lot. He's given his personal library, and we have scanned that, and he cut the ribbon for one of the centers that we built in South India. Okay, next. This is an attempt to have a fundraiser like a Sotheby's thing, and it was a disaster. No, financially, you weren't in charge of that. Oh, I'm sorry. That was okay. I had to work for 6 months to pay off one of those fundraisers. Anyway, we gave away all this jewelry at the end. Anyway, okay. We've been trying to raise money for 25 years. That's one of the... Okay, so Ladakh is a kingdom in northern India. It's the original Tibet. Okay, Tibet started in Ladakh, and then now it's spread to its current location. But there's a rumor that Jesus came to Ladakh and studied during his lost years, between like 15 and 20-something. There's a rumor that he was in Ladakh studying. So we wanted to confirm whether he was or not. There are 15... ancient monasteries there. They are older than the monasteries in Tibet. And they are Buddhist. And we got permission from each of the 15 to catalog all their books. And we finished it. And we found some books about a person named Yishu. And we're studying those books. And I think we're going to give a talk in Guadalajara about it. Maybe before the next...
January 14th.
We'll talk about some of the research we've done. We'll talk about Yishu and some of the research we've done. It's very interesting. Okay, it's very beautiful. Apparently, he affected Buddhism. Okay, but that's a long story. Okay, next. What have we accomplished? By the way, this is how scriptures are kept in those ancient libraries, wrapped up in silk. Nothing cataloged, no names on them, okay, for 1,000 years. More than 2 million pages of Tibetan and Sanskrit input. And it's all free. All of the books we've input, as soon as a book is finished and cataloged, it goes online for free. They're all online for free, okay? And we've never charged anything for the books. It's always been free. And we've given work for people of up to about 18 years. And they're now, their children are working now, you know, the teenagers and 20-year-olds. And I think they're working on creating a third generation. as I said yesterday, we are projecting out 150 more years of input and 700 years for correction and translation. Okay. That's the program. Next. Now, these are the monitors. We designed the project to take minimum equipment. Like, we got the cheapest computers in the world there. They are running on ASCII, DOS, which no computer in the West has run on for 15, 20 years. Okay, just because it's cheaper. We don't pay for Windows. We invented a program for typing Tibetan on DOS. So we don't even buy Windows from Microsoft. It's run on the same programs that were used when the computer was invented, okay? And it's just cheaper. We don't pay anything for software. And we made our own software. So, but the problem is they break down. India is a terrible place to work. The refugee camps are mud half the year. The monsoons, the buildings are ruined. We built the buildings. Aura, the lady with the baby, she was there when the building started, I remember. And this building, okay? And all of 40% of our equipment is out. 40% is broken. And we don't have the money to fix it. All of those are piled up. They don't work, okay? Next. I wanted to tell you the flow, okay? And I know you've been sitting for a while, and I'm sorry, but I don't care. I think it's exciting, and I think it's important, okay? I want to tell you what our vision is, okay? Just in like 10 minutes, okay? So here's the vision. Why are we typing in all the Tibetan literature? Here's the vision, okay? Number one, find the books. Why? All the libraries in Tibet were burned. In 1959, 5,000 libraries were burned to the ground. Okay, if you want Shakespeare, it's gone. If you want Cervantes, it's gone. It's burned. Okay, they were all burned. The only books that exist are in other countries. So we have to go to Mongolia, or we have to go to Russia, or we have to go to Japan, or we have to go to Siberia. We have a project in Siberia because there's a few books left there, and we're collecting the last books that survive. Okay, India. Okay, so first we find them, and they're falling apart. Next. Then we catalogued them. We just finished 14 years of work in St. Petersburg. We catalogued 132,000 books. It took 14 years, okay? And because you have to find them and you have to figure out what's the name of the book, because then you can start scanning it. That's the next step. So then we scan the scriptures. Maybe that will be in Russia or Mongolia or Japan or... We've worked with Japan, Mongolia, and Siberia. Next. Then the big work is that the scan will be sent to the refugee camp, and they will print the scan, and then they will start typing off of the scan. Okay, so that's a printed scan, and then they are inputting the Tibetan. Why? Why do you have to do that? Why not just have the scans, the pictures? You can't search a scan, okay? You can't search a scan. If I want to teach you the three protectors of the Lamrim, I have to go and search a million pages on the computer. It takes me 10 seconds. Okay? I can enhance this class in 10 seconds. I use this database a few hundred times a day. You know, the reason I can teach this class is I have a million pages on my laptop. So, but somebody has to type them. Why can't you just scan them and read it, right? OCR? When you carve Tibetan, you carve it. It's plastic. Every letter is shaped differently. Every time you carve A, it's bigger or smaller or a little bit crooked or different from any. Because when you hit a knot or you have grain in the wood, you squish it or you put it under instead of next to it. And you can't OCR it. It needs a human being to type it. And also I want to give work to the refugees. Okay. So I could speed up the OCR, I could put $1 million into OCR if I had it. And we could fire all the refugees. But the point is we want to keep them working. Okay. Next. Then we put them up for free online. Next. Then what we do is we translate them. And we give away the translations mostly, and then to me, the most important thing is that you take the ancient translation, for example, of the Diamond Cutter Sutra, right? The oldest book in the world, printed book in the world, is the Diamond Cutter Sutra. It's impossible to read, even in English. Okay, you want to hear some of it? Oh, Ramjor, Subhuti, is a mountain big? Yes. Why is it big? Because it's not. I'm quoting the Diamond Cutter Sutra, okay? So you can type them, and you can scan them, and you can even translate them. But the translations don't make any sense to anybody. They're like physics books. You need to take that translation, and you must interpret it for the modern world. You see what I mean? You take this Lam Rim, and after 10 years, it's your job to package it differently where it will help normal people. Okay? So you have to take this stuff and take it out of religious context. Take it out of Buddhist context. Don't use the word Buddha. Don't use the word karma. And then take it. We're going to Beijing next week. Okay? We are going to teach this stuff in Beijing. Okay? I don't know. That's like someone from... Well, I don't know if I should say that. It's like a Jew in World War II going to Berlin, okay? Something like that to teach, okay? And it works. Why? Because we take it out of the Buddhist context and we make it available for normal people, whether they're communist or Muslim. We have great teachings going on in Indonesia. I'm teaching in Kuala Lumpur also next week, which is all Muslim. And they love it because it's just wisdom. And it doesn't matter where it came from. We don't say it's Buddhist because it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care if nobody has a Buddha picture in the world. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they never heard of the Dalai Lama. It doesn't matter to me. If they understand that the old lady and stirring her coffee, that matters. Because then everybody will have a boyfriend and everybody will be happy. And I don't care if they never know it came from Tibet. I don't care. Let them have a boyfriend and know how to get one. And then who cares where it came from, right? It should just become part of world culture that everybody who wants a boyfriend finds a lonely person. And everybody who wants money goes and helps a poor person. Like that. It should just be the way of the world. And I don't care. If they forget where it came from, that's fine. It should be like that. Anonymous. Okay. But anyway, so that's the Diamond Cutter book in, I don't know, 30 languages now. Okay, it's been translated into 30 languages. Okay, so this is my sales pitch. Now we get to the sales pitch. You thought that was the sales pitch. We have a new plan. So if you were at the last retreat, there was a 20-year-old girl here from Princeton University who figured out, of course, that when a solar panel faces the sun, if they rotate to face the sun, they make about 40% more electricity. So if they contract the sun with the solar panel, you could increase the electricity available to the world by 40%. But you have to pay for the engine that moves you have to feed that electricity. So this 20-year-old girl invented a collar that goes here, made of alloys that expand and shrink as the sun moves. And it forces the panel to face the sun for free. It doesn't cost anything. It's just in the mounting on the panel. It's for free. And it's like, cool. So we discovered her. We brought her here last time. She gave this extraordinary talk. Do you know what happened? A couple weeks later, 60 Minutes found her. And she was on 60 Minutes. But anyway, she's agreed to let us be the pilot project for her thing in a mass application. Okay, so all of our computer centers for all the refugees will have her solar panels on the top. But we need the money for the solar panels. Okay, next. She calls it Sun Saluter. It came from her friend. Said, what do you call it? It's a joke on... Suryasana, what do you call it? Surya Namaskar. It's a joke about Surya Namaskar. She calls it Sansalara. Then we invented a new computer for the people to use because half the computers are broken. So Dan, who was here the last few days, he's a tech. He owns a tech company. And he has invented. And by the way, his company is giving, I think, $10,000 a month to ACIP. He's the largest donor also. But he invented a new computer for the refugees. And it's this big. And okay, and he's wired Mongolia. The National Library of Mongolia is now wired with he went there and wired it with fiber optic. We can get the book as it's being typed. Okay? As it's being typed, we see the operator typing. And then it goes up for free online. Okay? So anyway, he invented a new computer. We need a little bit of money for that. Next. That's another thing. Anyway, we want to upgrade the equipment. We have to fix the equipment because we're losing people. They don't have computers to work on. So my pitch to you can turn the lights on. My pitch to you is the same. What we learned at Diamond Mountain was we don't need rich people. Diamond Mountain, the land cost over $1 million. We don't charge anything to the students. We have to make mortgage payments. So we had a board meeting like 7 years ago, and we discussed our strategy for raising $1 million with no income. And we said, well, people have given us some donations. Let's give away half our donations every month to another charity. And we have. We paid off the land last year on Tsongkhapa Day, 25 years early. And the bank freaked out. They're like, how'd you get the money? We're like, we gave away half our money. So they haven't accepted that yet. But anyway, what we've learned is that just ask people for a dollar a day. So I'm asking you for a dollar a day, okay? It's like $30 a month, right? And it comes off your credit card. I'm signed up for a bunch of them, and it just goes off my credit card, and it doesn't hurt me so much. It's like dinner and a movie, right? Once a month. It's the cost of a dinner and a movie once a month. In the United States, if you're from another country that has another level of income, you can hand out those things. This is the thing, it's called Green Wisdom on the front. We're calling it Green Wisdom. We want to upgrade them to be solar and have the new technology on them. And she's giving us it for free. She's not charging us. But we need the panels, right? So you have a choice. Where's the notebook? Where? Starting at the break, which starts in 2 minutes. No, the break is done. You lost your break. Starting now, starting tonight, I don't know. Let's say, please, you see what's here? Wait, let's make a column here. Okay. This pen doesn't work. This pen also doesn't work. That's not a good fundraising tool. Okay. On the left is ACIP. On the right is food for the retreatants, okay? You decide which one you want to help, okay? And you just write your name, okay? Maybe before you leave tonight, okay? And I'll start it around now. Write your name, that's all. Just write your name. Then one of our assistants, who is Ronit, where are you? Yeah, Ronit or Brigitte is here. In the next 2 days, they will come up to you and say, okay, your name was under ACIP. How much do you want to give? And you can say, I cannot afford a dollar a day. I'll give 50 cents a day. Or I'll give 10 cents a day. But sign up for something, okay? I'm not going to kill you if your name's not on here. It's just that you won't get to heaven. No, just kidding. Now that was what started the trouble with Luther. But anyway, sign up for something, okay? Sign up for something. And then they'll take care of it. They'll figure out how to get it from you, okay? Sign up for something. And I suggest you sign up tonight as you leave. Or we'll start it around now. You have two of them?
Yeah.
Let's just start it around. Just say, I'd rather do the feed the retreatants in the cabin that I'm going to get in a year and a half. Or I want to help save the wisdom of the world. Okay? And you decide. Okay? You can do both. But by the way, I suggest you keep it modest and don't go crazy. Do something small. Okay? But just get the karma. Do 50 cents a day or say 25 cents a day. Okay? You don't have to decide tonight. You just decide, I want to do this or I want to do that. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Okay? I'm not going to, you know, sneak into your cabin tonight and do something to you. Okay? It's up to you, okay? I think you should do one or the other. Yes, Jeff?
For anyone that has been donating,
yeah.
PayPal recently changed the policy or something. I haven't looked into it. But my donations have stopped.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So if you have been donating and you received a kind of a strange email from PayPal, I would suggest going back and sending that.
Yeah. Just put your name, if you're already donating to one or the other, put your name under that. And we'll come to you and make sure it's still running. Okay?
Anybody wants to see the donation mechanism online? We have computers on this.
To see what they've done? Or well, you work on it later. They're sleepy. Just sign one side or the other. I don't care if it's 10 cents a day. I don't care if it's 1 cent a day. Do something, okay? And we should, okay? No one else is doing it, okay? The governments aren't doing it. The Tibetans aren't doing it. Nobody's taking responsibility. I think we have to. Or these books will be gone forever. What you're studying will be gone, okay? And we shouldn't let it be gone. It would be a shame. In the world, this is the most precious thing. And it would be dumb to say, I can't afford $1 a day to save it for a few thousand years. You see what I mean? It's just stupid. And the governments aren't... We used to get funding from the government. We had a couple years of funding from the government. But they just stopped because they'd rather have a war. Right? So... it's up to us, and I think it's an honor to say, you know, you have your war, we'll take care of the book. Like that. That's my policy. Okay? All right. Any questions about that? I'm sorry to keep you late. No? Okay. Let's do a mandala. I ask you if you can write down your name before you leave tonight, because the people who, they're going to come up to you with a laptop and say, okay, how much do you want to give, and what's your credit card number? And they'll sign you up before you go home. Okay? They'll take care of that. Right? And none of the staff in the U.S. gets paid. Okay? I'm trying to get a program to pay two or three of them, but it hasn't started for 25 years. It may start next year for a few people. Okay, here we go. Uta?
Puhi jashi meto tham Rira linshi hinde gembadi Sange shindu minte uwagi Roku namda shina chupasho Hiram guru rabha mandala kame ataya Dikewo kun sunam yeshe sosokshin sunam yeshe nechuwe namba kuni topasho.
Okay, good. Good job. Thank you.